What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
He is back. I'm Keith Finch still. I've not left.
You're not allowed to leave. I'm pretty sure your
I'm not
boss
allowed
has
to.
you.
It's
I'm not
term.
even technically sure who your boss is anymore with all of the restructuring that your company has gone under since I've been gone, but I'm pretty sure whoever's in charge of you has you chained to a physical location, like with a chain.
We don't talk about that on air, Caleb.
Sorry, we don't talk about the chain. We don't talk about the chain. Anyway, no, so
We
this
are
week.
since I know the sponsors, since they changed while you were gone,
Oh,
the
yeah.
sponsors are Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. So
Ah,
you
excellent,
guys are
excellent.
still sponsoring. That hasn't changed.
Fantastic. 10 out of 10, go us. So this week we are going to talk about fucking suppressors might be legal and how it. So, all right, hang on, let's back this up.
Not only suppressors,
But
but
everything.
like all the NFA that not machine gun might not be NFA anymore.
Yeah.
And if you guys have watched the last few episodes, that's wild. I didn't think it was going to happen. I will totally take the L on this prediction choice if it happens to go through. However, where we're at right now, guys, well, as of this recording, if it advances the next couple of days before the airing, that could change. But it is out of the Senate Finance Committee. It is not before the Senate as a whole, and I don't think it's going to get there quickly.
I do not
But
believe
it's
it
out
will
of,
either.
yeah, but it's out of Finance Committee, and the SHORT Act and the Hearing Protection Act are intact in the Senate version.
And as a fun aside, if you subscribe to the audio version of this podcast, you get it the day I rec we record it because it's really easy for me to hit the upload button on audio episodes. Much more work on the video stuff. So,
Yeah, the video stuff's hard.
yeah, the video stuff I don't do anymore. I now send it to a guy and he does it, which is fantastic. So anyway, but
We
as
got
far
a
as
guy
the
for that.
we got a guy. As far as the audio version goes, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, whatever other ones are out there. I mean, really, if you're
We're on
listening on a
Google.
service other than Spotify or Apple, I don't know. I haven't looked at our metrics. I wonder if our Google Podcast guy is still alive.
I don't, he might have changed services because I think he changed countries.
No, well, that makes sense. Anyway, if you are listening to us on Spotify or Apple, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review and a rating and all of that stuff because it's one of the places where we can still game the fucking metrics of the system because for whatever reason, podcasts are cool and it's cool to talk about guns on podcasts. Some of the top-rated podcasts out there talk about guns. So anyway, today we're talking about the SHORT Act and the Hearing Protection Act and what those are. What are those, Keith? Because yeah, you tell the people.
Give the people what they want. Originally, the Hearing Protection Act was this wonderful thing that was absolutely going to pass many, many years ago and did not, which were going to remove suppressors from the NFA. Suppressors were going to be a Title I item, just like your run-of-the-mill handgun. So your Rossi five-shot or Rossi six-shot revolver, wonderful little revolver, and your can were treated the same. They're off the National Firearms Act. They would be off the National Firearms Re Act registry. No more tax stamps, no more $200. All the passing of go, we win at Monopoly. The SHORT Act is the same thing, but for short-barreled rifles and short-barreled shotguns. That was introduced more recently. I think within the last 2 years is when the first version of that popped onto the radar. If I'm wrong about that, I'm doing no research and I'm not going to correct myself. But the SHORT Act is for short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns. They would go Title I, and the Hearing Protection Act is suppressors going Title I. They're leaving only machine guns and explosives in the destructive devices in the NFA. As it were. So that'd be a really big win. And again, I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to remain in the atrociously titled Big Beautiful Bill.
No,
But
I
they
thought for
are.
sure when it got to the Senate, they would strip it out.
I thought it was going to get sacrificed in the Senate and this was going to be an election play. Now, they. Full on, they can still do that. It's not before the whole Senate right now. But the version that got pushed out to the Senate does include it. So it's further than I thought it would get.
Yeah. So for those of you that are kind of new to this, which there's a lot of, people who are entering the gun space, and this may be the first time that you're hearing about the Hearing Protection Act, like not this show, but rather the overarching news surrounding it. We thought we were going to get the Hearing Protection Act back in 2016, Trump's first term. We were like, hell yeah, Trump's in office. Freaking Wayne LaPierre has an erection for the first time. We're getting suppressors off the off the NFA. We're getting, we're getting nationwide reciprocity. We got fuck all.
We got bump
From
stocks
that,
banned. That's
yeah,
what we got.
we did get bump stocks banned. So that was great. But this time, like, we got a chance. I didn't think it was going to make it out of that. I didn't think the big beautiful bill. And side note, you can feel however you want about everything else that's in that bill. There's a lot of stuff in it. I am not a politician and I don't vote on these things, so I haven't read it because it's not my job to read it. But
It's
anyway,
it does live up to the first part of that triple B. It is it's
it's
fucking big.
enormous. Yeah. And I assume, like every other bill of that size, it's packed full of stupid pork because that's how, the government works.
That's how these things go.
It is. But anyway.
There are absolutely things that I don't like in it, but these are two things that, should they pass, that I will in fact like.
Yeah, I would very much love, like, oh man. And I remember during some of the hearings, some of just the histrionics from people about because correct me if I'm wrong. The original bill that went through the House just had the HPA in it. It didn't have the Short Act in it. And then it gets into the Senate, and some mad lad is like, fuck them. Let's get fucking SBRs and SBSs off the list and AOWs too, so you can put a vertical foregrip on your pistol.
I'm going to get a CAC vertical foregrip. I'm going to put it on a Glock 34, and I'm going to live my best life. Why? Because it's goofy and I want to.
Yeah. And then go get a
And I
Switch
don't
off of
want to pay
Temu.
$5 to do it. Stupidest
So,
stamp.
but let's talk about this, right? So for people who don't understand, I think a lot of people are sort of up to speed on suppressors and like why those should come. And I don't think anybody, especially in our audience, would disagree with suppressors. And I think that the case for suppressors, if you're talking to regular earth people, is also easier to make. It's obvious, it's very much, hey, this is not a ho these aren't suppressors in the real world, are not used like they are in Hollywood. You know who one of the number one consumers of suppressors is right now? Hunters who want
Hunters.
to be able to hear things with their own God-given ears and also shoot things without blowing those eardrums out. Like, they are one of the largest consumer groups. Dudes with brown rifles with wood stocks that have threaded barrels now. Hunters, one of the largest consumer groups for suppressors. So I think the argument for that's a lot
And
easier.
one of the best use cases for suppressors in the fact, like, if you and I are out on the range or in a class or something like that, we're wearing ear pro. Like, suppressed guns or not suppressed guns, we're wearing ear pro. You know where you don't wear ear pro? When you're trying to listen for the animal to come through. Like, you want your natural hearing. So most people do not wear ear pro in that regard. I don't. And people are like, oh, you can do electronic. Electronic throws off a lot
Yeah,
because it's audio processed, and telling direction gets really weird, and telling distance gets really weird, where I don't have those issues just listening. So I would much rather have a suppressed gun to take care of that one or two gunshots that I need to do my job, rather than trying and wear active that throws everything off, and especially muffs get stupid uncomfortable after a
Oh yeah.
while.
I would never. So the way that I because I hunt with a revolver, which can't be suppressed. My solution to that is I will use my Isotune in-ear plugs, which are active have active noise enhancement and canceling. If I'm blind hunting, and then if I'm doing spot and stalk, like Africa style stuff, then I'll have my muffs because I'll be able to, pop them on,
Put them
pop them
on.
off re a lot more readily than sticking plugs in. But even the Isotune Sports, which are, in my opinion, one of the best in-ear bits of ear protection, and they're really good at the sound enhancement thing because the company that makes them originally started as a hearing aid company. Even those are not great at it, right? Like, I can generally get a sense of direction from noises, but gauging distance or how loud it actually was is almost impossible. So, yeah.
And it's because of the hearing enhancement aspect, because it's trying to bring everything closer to you.
Yeah, exactly. So, no,
So
I would
there's.
fully. So for suppressors, yeah, like I've got my 4570s threaded, my, all kind, I got all kinds of suppress or threaded guns in there that I'm like, yes, especially that 4570. You take that thing with the Hornady subsonic loads that I run through it, and you shoot it with a suppressor, and you're like, what happened? And another great use case for suppressors is training new people. What, you know this, so this question is rhetorical, but what causes people to flinch, Keith?
Large noises and big flashes. Oh, and recoil aversion, and suppressors do wonderful things for recoil too.
And we, right, like you could take the most recoil skittish person in the world, people who are afraid of a 22, and put a little can on that 22, and all of a sudden it goes click, 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 and they're like, this is fun. Yeah, it is fun. And I mean, it's
Yeah,
supposed to be fun anyways.
now it sounds exactly just like a pneumatic. There's no appreciable recoil. There's no bright, expansive noise, and it gets them over that instinctive flinch that is generating a non-instinctive or an overblown fear. The
Yeah,
flinch is
absolutely.
instinctive.
Yeah,
We can't. We can.
you're setting off an explosion 2 feet in front of your face. Your brain knows that, and it's not a fan.
Yeah, it do not like. So,
So
suppressors, yes.
easy.
MathLad throwing the short act onto it, awesome. I do genuinely like those things. And the fatalist in me, and I'm sure you've seen Larry's posts on this. I'm in alignment with Larry. Like the fatalist in me is like, regardless of all the other, like this is a version of this is going to pass. This is part of what the government does to keep being the government is pass big spending do thing bills like this. So a version of this, because this is the Trump administration, is going to pass. I would like some things that I like in it, and these are two things I like.
Yeah, I would also like some things in this bill that I like, and these are two things that I like. I think now, if I were to, be a professional prognosticator, I would say that the HPA has a higher likelihood of surviving than the short act,
Yes.
because I think that to the Gen Pop, short-barreled rifles and short-barreled shotguns are a harder sell,
Yep.
regardless of
This.
the fact that you and I, that is way, because
Yeah.
now now I'm like, all right. I can construct a extremely user-friendly use case for suppressors, right? And I can also construct a completely friend user-friendly use case for short-barrel rifles and short-barrel shotguns, but it's a
This is
little,
the harder sell, ladies and
yeah.
gentlemen.
And it's harder
There's no
because
doubt about it.
the preponderance of short-barreled rifles look like that, right?
Yes.
So you're dealing with that aesthetic issue where people are like, oh, this is, a bad, this is a scary thing. It's, the friggin' crazy assault weapon and that kind of stuff. I think that it's a tougher sell for short-barreled rifles and short-barreled shotguns. Even
However,
though,
one of
like,
the tactics that can be used for the sale is one of the tactics that was used rather successfully on suppressors, is the lack of distinct regulation in Europe. In Europe, suppressors are very, very common anywhere that you also find firearms. And there was no severe regulation on suppressors themselves. The United States was unique in that. And if you go to most other nations where firearms have a significant presence, they don't care about barrel length. There's no such thing as a short-barreled rifle. It's just a rifle. You can get various configurations of rifle. They tend to classify by the rifle's action. So a manual action rifle, like a bolt or a pump, or a lever, would be a classification, and then semi-automatics are another classification, and then autos are generally another classification. That, to me, makes a lot of sense. If you are going to classify these things, classifying them by the action type rather than, oh, this is 16 inches permanent length with threads, without threads, with, oh no, that one's 15 and three quarters. Sorry, too jaded to go. From, length from the breech face and all that other jazz and nonsense and everything like that, that make the ATF do a lot of busy work that, the more I talk to those ladies and gentlemen, the more that is very annoying.
Oh, dude, I'm so tired of the arbitrary barrel length, right? Like, oh, it's and I'm it's hang on. It's 16 for rifles and 18 for shotguns. Why is it 18 for shotguns? Why not 16 for everything? Why is there an overall length component to it? Why not just the barrel? Just, I mean, it's so dumb. And one of the, like, here's a great actual real world use case for short barrel rifles and short barrel shotguns is, again, that training kids, teaching kids how to shoot, right? You can lop down the length of pull on a 20 gauge and lop down something of the barrel, and all of a sudden you've got a real handy gun to teach a child how to shoot. And also, because I would like to take the pistol grip off my Shockwave and put a stock on it without going to prison.
Smith and Wesson makes a 22 version, their M&P 1522, this size. That is a phenomenal learn to shoot gun. An
That is a
absolutely
cool gun.
phenomenal learn to shoot gun. Like that 1522 is awesome, and I love it. I went the other way because I saw a Gemtech complete suppressed, integrally suppressed upper that I was like, huh. Well, I need that now. And so I have an integrally suppressed 1522, which is also hilarious and fun.
So, what do you think? You think the short, I mean, some version of this will probably pass. Well, okay, so some version of the big beautiful bill is certainly going to pass. Like, there, that is unquestionably a fact. It is merely what gets sacrificed on the altar of political capital to get through. Because, as we all, because, so here's, all right, welcome to civics class with Father Time, guys. So today we're going to talk about the filibuster and why it's important and why. Anytime that you're, and this is, I've seen, this is tale as old as time. Anytime either party has a not filibuster-proof majority in Congress, in the Senate, they're like, we should get rid of the filibuster. The other guys are using it to impede progress. And then fast forward 4, 8, whatever years, and they don't have a majority, and their
Red team and
filibuster,
blue team flip sides of the field like they
and
do.
then the guys who wanted to get rid of the filibuster are filibustering the dog shit out of things because that's how the game is played. So how what the
I
filibuster
did on
is,
purpose.
it, I know, right? What the filibuster
Weird.
is, if you don't understand, is that let's say that there's a bill that is up for the a vote, and this is a very, very simplified version. Let's say there's a bill that's up for the vote in the Senate, right? And I don't like this bill and I don't want it to pass. So I can get up and I can filibuster it. And that basically means I can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk until everybody goes home and no one votes on the bill. Again, very, very simplified version of what the filibuster is and how it works. A filibuster-proof majority to break a filibuster, to stop someone from filibustering, so to buster a filibuster, one might say, you have to have a two-thirds majority in the Senate. So, right? Which I don't think either party has had a two-thirds majority in the Senate since Reagan was president.
Yeah, it has been a while, and I want to say the last ones were, I want to say the last ones were the Democrats
That
who
would
had
be
66 seats. Because I was looking up, it wasn't related to firearms legislation in particular, but I was looking up the number of times where either party had had all three. They'd had the trifecta.
Yo, the
So
last
that
time anybody had a two-thirds majority in Senate in the Senate was the 89th Congress in 1967. That's crazy. Both chambers had a Democratic supermajority. That's the term that we're using, a supermajority. And then Lyndon B. Johnson got elected. So it was like just
It
like.
was blue.
There was no,
Blue.
now you guys also got to remember, Democrats in the 1960s were a lot different than the Democrats today. Like a lot different. But regardless, of
Yeah,
all,
it was.
regardless of all of that, so lacking a supermajority in the Senate, you can't beat the filibuster by yourself, right? Which means you have to go across the aisle to get people to agree with you, which then sort of obviates the need for the filibuster in the first place if you get people, across from the other team to join sides with you, right? So this is one of those bills where it's like, what will get sacrificed from this bill in order to get it through? And there's so much in it, like provisions in the Big Beautiful Bill. What's in it? One Big
Let's.
Beautiful Bill Act. God, I hate that name so much.
It's to use the parlance of our time and the youngins, it is the most cringe thing I have read.
Yeah, all right.
That title.
So, oh my God, I went to the frickin' BBC's website and it's just, all right, let's see. No tax on Social Security. I mean, honestly, that would probably make it through. That's the sort of thing that's an easy sell to your constituents.
Yep.
The more
And
Medicaid.
on top of that, that's one of those that I've never understood because Social Security, as it is presented, is hi, I pay into this while I am a taxpayer and earner. It is therefore it this isn't how the funds actually go. The money I put in is not the money I take out. It's not a savings account, but it functions like it's supposed to be a savings and retirement account. So it's really weird to me that they're like, oh, this is on taxpayer money, but we're going to take some of it back just to make extra math for everyone.
That's a
We're
whole
cutting this
different one.
check. We also need a percentage of it back just so we can do more math.
I think the tough battleground is going to be, like, honestly, the toughest battleground I think will be the additional requirements put on Medicare and Medicaid, like to make access to those programs more restricted and more difficult. I think that's where you'll see people fight. And then the question is, what ha like who wants like what's more important to the Republican Party, getting suppressors off the NFA or owning the libs?
Exactly. So
And I mean,
getting the triple B pass is the own the libs play, and
exactly.
getting it passed as intact as they can. If either the short or the HPA are the easy freaking sacrificial lamb there to get it into passing range, they're going to do it.
Here's one that as a sort of aside, I thought is interesting is the no tax on overtime or tips. We talked about this in a group chat where the Senate version of it was like, yeah, but hold up. We're gonna cap that non-taxable overtime at a real low number, so you guys can go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, no tax on OT or tips. Yay! At an amount that is basically, I think it's less than the standard deduction, actually.
Oh, that's I
The
didn't
amount.
I know the standard deduction is like 26K. So
Yep.
I'm pretty so yeah,
So it's like
regardless.
not. Yeah, they cut that one from a wow, cool tips and overtime. You get to keep those because you're doing extra above and beyond to like. JK.
And like I'm a big and like I am a full-on supporter of no tax on tips. Overtime, I
Yeah.
don't know. Take it or leave it, but like no tax on tips? Absolutely not. And the reason why I'm a supporter of this is because no one used to pay taxes on tips because back in the day,
Don't catch.
it was all cash. I went to a friggin' restaurant and I got myself a muffin and I paid him with cash. And then the restaurant got robbed because I was in Pulp Fiction. But anyway, regardless, but everybody paid with cash, for the 80, like, okay, some you did start to see more widespread credit card adoption in the 90s. But I can remember even up to the early
I can remember into
2000s.
the 2000s
Yeah.
where
Plenty of places would be cash only.
cash only or and written checks were still super common.
Oh yeah. Fun fact, I actually went to take my dad out to breakfast the other day, And we stopped at this little diner in rural South Carolina, and they were in fact cash only. And I was like, I was not prepared for this because I don't have any cash, and neither did my dad. And I was like, you know what else I don't have, Dad? I don't have my friggin' debit card. That's at the house too, because I don't ever use that. So we might be up Schitt's Creek here, but we got to figure it out. Clean energy tax cuts, gross.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like the whole thing's a crapshoot.
The reason they call it big, it's a friggin' omnibus bill. It's got a ton of shit in it. These just happen to be the two things that, one, are easy, stupid pleas to the red base, to the Republican base, to the Pro 2A base. They're stupid, easy things that, like, either they get it passed with it in, and they're like, hey, it's 2026, the midterms are here. Remember what we did for you? Or it doesn't pass, it gets sacrificed, and they come with it. Hey, it's 2026, it's the midterms. Remember what we tried to do for you?
Right. Remember what the other guys who are bad and dumb blocked us from doing for you?
Yep. You should vote them out and us in, or us to stay. Winning.
I hate
But it's one
politics.
of those, it's also one of those perpetual issues that, like, as long as we're still arguing about it because it's not solved, you can use it as a voter base issue. Once
Yeah,
you solve it,
absolutely.
now it's no longer a voter base issue, and you have to find something else to, campaign on and drum up some finances with.
Yeah, so I mean, who knows, right?
The big thing here is, man, I'm putting it at like 50-50 odds, because on the one hand, it is very low-hanging fruit and is an easy thing to sacrifice for points. But on the other, it's really low-hanging fruit and it's kind of a niche issue with all the other things in the bill. So
Right.
they just might not touch it. Like,
Yeah.
they might do the concurrence and on it goes. It just might be the smallest of the big issues in the bill, so it ends up staying in.
I would love that. I would love that. Oh my God. Like, I, first off, if suppressors came off the. All right. So, next question. Well, one, if suppressors come off the NFA, like, let's talk about some second and third order effects of that. You're not going to be able to buy, unless you get one real fucking quick, you're not going to be able to buy a suppressor for like a year. We will drain the current supply at the manufacturer level. Like it will be like COVID was for ammo. And like all of the suppressor manufacturers are just jacking their dicks hoping this happens right now. Like they're like,
But
please God.
there are certain places in the market themselves who have built infrastructure on the transfer that they're going to take it. They're going to take it hard. Then they might not, like, we're going to see aspects of this industry die because of this bill. Also,
Well,
guys, I'm going to throw this out there right now. Do not fuck your local dealers waiting 2 to 4 to 5 months for all this to change over and nix all their revenue. Go buy something for them. Go buy optics. Go buy ammo. Go, like, support
yeah.
them still while you're waiting for that the SPRs and the suppressors to get figured out with Title I, because that's not going to happen in an instant. This thing isn't going to pass, and then the ATF is going to go and bring in the big shredding machine, and they just shred the registry, and it's like, oh, all the serial numbers are free now. Everything's Title I. No, this is going to be a giant pain in the dick process.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of things that will be a giant pain in the dick about it, so one, it'll wipe out supply back to the manufacturer level. Like everyone, there will be a run on suppressors the likes of which you have never seen, which is fine. And again, I'm sure
Yeah,
all the manufacturers.
I'm totally cool with that. And manufacturers, as long as they have production capability, they love being in the, hey, as soon as I make it, it's sold. They
Oh
love
yeah,
that.
it's the best fucking scenario possible. And I do think that, there are some companies out there who have spent a lot of time and money to build out infrastructure that supports purchasing suppressors online and stuff like that. And with their, depending on how their revenue model is positioned, like how much of, and this is, purely speculative on my part, how much of their gross revenue, or excuse me, how much of their net revenue is derived from actual sales of hard goods, and how much is derived from service fees on the fucking, being the facilitators for that, will determine whether or not they survive, and that's pretty much, I mean, that's just
And
business.
it's business. And on top of that, when you look at when you look at margins on cans and on the stuff in the industry, as long as they make the proper shifts at the proper time, there will be dips in the revenue, but it won't stop. They just have to go. They have to go to a Title I structure, which we've had Title I transfer structure infrastructure in place for as long, essentially as long as we've been able to buy things over the internet. And as soon as we started putting gun stores on the internet, Title I transfer infrastructure has been in place. So while certain things are going to get invalidated if this passes, specific to NFA infrastructure, all you have to do is go, okay, well, now it's all Title I infrastructure. Now it's all just regular transfer infrastructure. And that's the way it is. And at the end of the day, it will be a good thing that that occurs. Everything's Title I. Because now, you want an AR? What barrel length, man? Like, what barrel length from 20 down to 8? What exactly are you looking for? There's none of this. Well, we really need a 13.7, but then I have to put a permanent muzzle on it, and then no. Just what do you want? Do you want like a nice 12.5 because it's kind of a, home defense rifle, or do you want like an 18-inch or 20-inch floated gun because you're doing, long distance pokey thing work, right? You building a short retro, you building a full size M16A1 retro. What are you doing? By the way, these are all just the same. They're all just AR-15 Title I semi-automatic.
Exactly. Now, I think what the other thing that will be interesting, and I think that, and like this is, all right, this is a prediction. And in 5 years, I'm going to be fucking right about this. And it's going to be great because I love being right. Is that if the HPA passes and suppressors come off of the NFA and move to Title I, then in addition to depleting the supplies of suppressors back to the manufacturer level, we are also going to see a brief and aggressive uptick in suppressor manufacturers, just like we did with the AR market during the Obama administration. In the 2008 to 2013 period, Obama's election plus Sandy Hook, we saw more brand new cottage AR manufacturers pop up out of the woodwork than there had ever existed before. And they're all fucking out of business now. And that is exactly what will happen with these with suppressor manufacturers if the
We'll
HPA
see
gets to.
even more with suppressor manufacturers because a suppressor is much simpler to build if you're just building it to the, basic standard. Like, dude, you want to pump out 9 mil cans?
Oh
That's
yeah.
not hard.
No, 9 mil cans are not difficult. Honestly, like you're I you know but what'll happen is we'll see a significant increase in suppressor manufacturers and a correlating increase in baffle strikes.
Yep.
Because people are gonna be like,
Gonna be
hey
a
man.
lot of blown out cans.
Like, oh man, I finally got this suppressor from, Bob's Garage Suppressor Company, and I put it on my 4570 and I fucking blasted it clear the hell off my gun on my first trigger pull. Yeah, that'll happen. I'm guessing it wasn't fucking concentric, but okay. Yeah, I and I will be
Eyeballed it. It's fine.
I'm 100% right about that. And in 5 years when, but if the bill passes, what'll happen is in about 2 years after the bill's passing, we'll have, a huge like uptick in suppressor manufacturing companies, and then 5 to 6 years after that, 80% of them will be out of business because they couldn't make a good quality can. And as it turns out, they were all trying to source parts from the same people. So
Yep. So what we're telling you here, this is our business advice. This is business advice with Caleb and Keith.
get a 3D
Don't
printer and
be
learn how
the
to 3D print suppressors.
that too. Don't be the suppressor manufacturer, be the suppressor OEM.
Yes, yeah, that's the guy to be in that one. Actually, what I like, I just said that kind of as a bit, but like 3D, like if they come off the NFA, it's legal for me to make a gun in my house for my own personal use. That would then make it legal for me to make a suppressor in my house for my own personal use. So you could actually reliably print limited use 3D printed suppressors, right? Like you're basically printing. If you remember years and years ago, there was a And you couldn't get it in the States, but it was a suppressor made by Glock that was basically designed to last a whole magazine. And they sold it over the counter in South Africa. And I'm like, $25 suppressor that I'm very clearly saying is only designed to last, 10 shots. And how much do I shoot when I hunt? Oh, well, three to check my zero. And then, however many I'm going to shoot at the animal. It's a great idea. Let's start 3D printing suppressors. Well, not yet. I'm going to wait till it's legal. Then I'm going to start 3D printing suppressors.
Indeed. And the only requirement is if you commercialize it, you do have to serialize them. They'll be Title I. Therefore, if you print one, use it, or don't use it, and you just have it, and you're like, I could get rid of this. When you sell it, it will probably require a serial number because that's the change they made on personally made firearms, PMFs. So once it sells, it needs a serial number. And you know what? I'm pretty chill with that, with as much other things that we gain if this thing passes. So right now I'm giving it even odds, just because on the one hand, easy sacrifice. On the other, it probably isn't worth enough capital to burn in trade. They would have to use something else. They would have to use something that's a little more, in the current zeitgeist. Guns have interestingly become so tertiary in the argument.
I'm looking
It's
for
kind of wild.
something. Damn. All right. There's no line on Polymarket for whether or not the Hearing Protection Act will pass. But that's what I was like. I wonder what this what the line is. I love Polymarket. I'm also a degenerate gambler, so
I know a few of them. You're all good people.
good times, good times. All right, boys. Well, that is about it for this episode. Again, if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or any of the other audio services, you do get this the day that we record it. So sign up for those. Subscribe on iTunes, 5 stars, Spotify, 5 stars. Do the thing, and
Give
that will
me
be
all
great.
the stars.
All right.
Dancing with the stars.
That's
Later.
it. Next week we'll be back.